We light this candle, remembering that in God's eyes, the night is as light as the day. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you to this service. I very much hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. We think we are abandoned. You show yourself face to face. We wrestle with your call. You pour out blessing. We face the trial. You preserve our lives and our hope. You prevail against all that would separate us from you. And so we gather to worship you. Let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Incarnate God, you risk letting us meet you face to face. We confess that we would rather look at our favourite illusions than your beautiful truth. You invite us to wrestle with your word of peace. We confess that we prefer to fight with our neighbours. You seek to lay hold of us and bless us. We confess that we would rather run away and keep our old identities. Grant us the courage to risk your truth and your peace and your blessing, so that we may be people who reveal your presence in all places of fear. Amen. We did not choose God. God chose us. In that choice, God offers us mercy, grace, and love. Through Christ, God chooses to grant us forgiveness. And in Christ, we are restored as God's children. Our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Bit of a change in the Bible reading this week. I have finally decided that we have had enough of Romans, at least for the moment. And so today's Bible reading comes from the book of Genesis, from chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. At night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. The picture book today is Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena and Christian Robinson. And I'm reading it because the gospel reading this week is Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21, which is the story we call the feeding of the 5,000. But it's not actually the feeding of the 5,000, because the last line is, "There were 5,000 men there, not counting women and children." So it's the feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children, who I believe count as well. But this is the picture book. CJ pushed through the church doors, skipped down the steps. The outside air smelled like freedom, but it also smelled like rain, which freckled CJ's shirt and dripped down his nose. He ducked under his nana's umbrella, saying, "How come we got to wait for the bus in all this wet?" "Trees get thirsty too," his nana told him. "Don't you see that big one drinking through a straw?" CJ looked for a long time, but never saw a straw. From the bus stop, he watched water pool on flower petals, watched rain patter against the windscreen of a nearby car. His friend Colby climbed in, gave CJ a wave, and drove off with his dad. "Nana, how come we don't got a car?" "Boy, what do we need a car for? We got a bus that breathes fire, and old Mr. Dennis, who always has a trick for you." The bus creaked to a stop in front of them. It sighed and sagged, and the doors swung open. "What's that I see?" Mr. Dennis said. He pulled a coin from behind CJ's ear, placed it in his palm. Nana laughed her deep laugh and pushed CJ along. They sat right up front. The man across the way was tuning a guitar. An old woman with curlers had butterflies in a jar. Nana gave everyone a great big smile and a "good afternoon." She made sure CJ did the same. The bus lurched forward and stopped, lurched forward and stopped. Nana hummed as she knitted. "How come we always got to go here after church?" CJ said. "Miguel and Colby never have to go nowhere." "I feel sorry for those boys," she told him. "They'll never get a chance to meet Bobo or the sunglass man. And I hear Trixie got herself a brand new hat." CJ stared out the window, feeling sorry for himself. He watched cars zip by on either side, watched a group of boys hop curbs on bikes. A man climbed aboard with a spotted dog. CJ gave up her seat. How come that man can't see? Boy, what do you know about seeing? Nana told him. Some people watch the world with their ears. That's a fact. Their noses, too, the man said, sniffing the air. That's a mighty fine perfume you're wearing today, ma'am. Nana squeezed the man's hand and laughed her deep laugh. Two older boys got on next. CJ watched as they moved on by and stood in the back. Sure wish I had one of those, he said. Nana set down her knitting. What for? You got the real live thing sitting across from you. Why don't you ask the man if he'll play us a song? CJ didn't have to. The guitar player was already plucking strings and beginning to sing. To feel the magic of music, the blind man whispered. I like to close my eyes. Nana closed hers too. So did CJ and the spotted dog. And in the darkness, the rhythm lifted CJ out of the bus, out of the busy city. He saw the sunset colours swirling over crashing waves, saw a family of hawks slicing through the sky, saw the old woman's butterflies dancing free in the light of the moon. CJ's chest grew full, and he was lost in the sound, and the sound gave him the feeling of magic. The song ended, and CJ opened his eyes. Everyone on the bus clapped, even the boys in the back. Nana glanced at the coin in CJ's palm. CJ dropped it in the man's hat. Last stop on Market Street, Mr. Dennis called. CJ looked around as he stepped off the bus. Crumbling pavements and broken down doors, graffiti-tagged windows and boarded up stores. He reached for his Nan's hands. How come it's always so dirty over here? She smiled and pointed to the sky. Sometimes when you're surrounded by dirt, CJ, you're a better witness for what's beautiful. CJ saw the perfect rainbow arcing over their soup kitchen. He wondered how his Nana always found beautiful where he never even thought to look. He looked all around them again, at the bus rounding the corner out of sight, and the broken street lamp still lit up bright, and the stray cat shadows moving across the wall. When he spotted the familiar faces in the window, he said, I'm glad we came. The end.
Jacob struggled for a blessing in the darkness all night long. Holding tightly to a stranger, could he hear a distant song? God of every person's future, you gave him a change of name. Give to us a new direction, out of struggle, out of blood and tears. He was lonely in the darkness, though there was an angel near. God of hope and transformation, it took tears and pain and death to destroy the power of evil, to give us the Spirit's breath. Darkness. the dirt beneath the surface, quiet seeds begin to sprout. God of great surprise and mystery, make us constant in our prayer. As we ask and search for answers, may we come to know your care. Jesus, you are the name of God. Jesus, you are the face of God. Jesus, you are the help of God. Keep us to our guides.
Today's Bible reading is one of my favourite, so much so that it was one of the two readings when I was ordained, because I empathise with Jacob, which might on the face of it seem a little strange if you remember Jacob's story, which I'm going to remind you of, just in case you've forgotten. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was barren until Isaac prayed for her to God, and she conceived. And she conceived twins, and they fought so much in her womb that she wished she was dead. Then when she gave birth, the younger came out gripping his brother's heel, and so they named him Jacob, which means he takes by the heel or he supplants. So Jacob was a troublemaker from his conception. Isaac favoured his elder son, Esau, and Rebekah favoured her younger son, Jacob. And through Jacob's trickery, helped by his mother, Jacob received both Esau's birthright and his blessing. And so Esau planned to kill Jacob as soon as Isaac was dead. Rebekah knew this, and she arranged for Jacob to be sent away to her brother, Laban. And when Jacob met Laban, he met someone who was just as tricky as he was. Jacob fell in love with Laban's daughter Rachel, his cousin. And he agreed to work for Laban for 7 years in order to marry her. But after the 7 years, on the wedding night, Laban arranged instead for his elder daughter, Leah, to be the one that Jacob slept with. Don't worry about why Jacob couldn't tell the difference. That is a puzzle to which there is no answer. But anyway, in the morning, Jacob found that he was accidentally married to Leah and not Rachel, and he had to work for Laban for another 7 years to get Rachel. Then he had two wives, and they had two slave girls, and Jacob had a whole lot of sons. But it was when Rachel, his preferred wife, had borne her first son, Joseph, him of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, that Jacob left Laban and headed for home with his wives and his sons and his sheep and goats and camels and slaves, because he had become a very rich man. And Jacob sent messengers ahead of him announcing his return, and they came back to tell him, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Naturally, Jacob was terrified by this, so what he did was he divided everything he owned, including his wives and sons, into two different companies in the hope that if Esau wiped out one company, he would leave the other and Jacob would have something left. And that's the point at which today's reading starts. Jacob, the supplanter, the trickster, is alone and terrified at the thought of seeing his elder brother. Having sent his family across the stream, he wrestles with an unknown man through the night until daybreak. We never learn the man's name. When Jacob asks, the man refuses to tell him. But the man renames Jacob, saying, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Israel means, he who strives with God or God strives. And then Jacob names the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. And Peniel means the face of God. So the two names tell us that the unknown man with whom Jacob wrestled is God. And this is why Jacob is one of my role models in the faith, and this is why I had this reading at my ordination. Because Jacob wrestles with God, and God lets him. This is a story of struggle and conflict between God and humanity, and it's a story about the appropriateness of that. After a night of wrestling in which neither prevails, the man tells Jacob to let him go, for day is breaking. Jacob refuses to let go until he is blessed, and eventually he gets his blessing. Israel is the one who has faced God, been touched by God, prevailed, gained a blessing, and been renamed. And Israel is not just the people of Israel, it's us as well, the people of faith. Among the themes of the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome was the reassurance that they, Gentiles like us, had been grafted into Israel. So this too has become our story, and we too are the people, the troublemakers, who strive with God. Jacob doesn't emerge from the encounter unscathed. When the wrestler sees that he isn't prevailing against Jacob, he strikes him on the hip socket and Jacob's hip is put out of joint. And so the story ends with the words, "The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." So the people of Israel are those who struggle with God, but we're also those who are wounded by God. Israel is both crippled and blessed. And we see here in this story the same paradox of victory and defeat, strength and weakness, which we see in the cross. One of the theologians I've been reading during lockdown, because I suddenly have a lot more time to do the theological reading that for some reason never happens in normal ministry, is Jürgen Moltmann, who is a German theologian whose career really started when he was a prisoner of war at the end of the Second World War. And he wrote one of my favourite books of theology, The Crucified God. But the book I've been reading more recently has been a book about who Jesus Christ is for us. And Jürgen Moltmann writes that in the passionately loving Christ, the persecuted Christ, the lonely Christ, the tortured Christ, the Christ who suffers under God's silence, we see not only our brother and friend, but we also see God, the God who suffers with us. And the idea that the God who created the entire cosmos could also be the God who passionately loves us and suffers with us is an inheritance from the Jewish story. As we see in today's reading, the Jews knew God intimately. They were so close to God that they describe themselves as the one who wrestle with God. They use the name Israel, the one who struggles with God, as their own name. You couldn't get much closer to God than that. They knew that God was intimately present in their life. And we Christians inherited that from them in our understanding that through Christ, we have seen God among us and one of us. And so like them, we approach God as the one with whom we intimately struggle. And we discover that we are marked by our own encounters with God, marked for life. And we also discover that we are the ones blessed by God, the ones given a new name that reflects that we have seen God face to face. So the message of the whole Hebrew Scriptures and of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is that God is not an isolated, all-powerful, eternal, and infinite being, an absentee in his own heaven. The God we worship is the one who lives intimately with us, as close to us as the man who wrestled with Jacob. This time of COVID is difficult, and the news this week has been worse, and we cannot see an end to it. And honestly, I don't have much comfort to offer during this time. But the one bit of comfort I do have to offer is that God is intimately with us through this. We are not alone. No matter what is happening, God is in it with us. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen. So let us pray for the community, for the church and for the world. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. Today we particularly remember those working in hospitals and aged care homes, whose work puts them in constant danger. We remember the residents of aged care communities who are the most vulnerable to infection. And we pray for their family and friends who have had to give up visiting their loved ones in order to keep them safe. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Paul Kelly and Brett Sutton. Help them to make the best decisions as lockdowns are reintroduced and as they have to order further restrictions. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. We make these prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
your lives strengthened by the food with which Christ has fed you. Be generous to others, for Christ has extravagantly given you great gifts. And may God's wonderful love be with you everywhere. May Christ Jesus feed you with his body and his word. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with the certainty of God's presence. Amen.